Without Napier by Michael A. Hart. Published April 9th, 2008 by Everyday Fiction. As read by Adam Kirby. "You are my heart and my muscle, Yali," Napier would say. "There is no criminal in all of Marseille who can stand against us." Indeed, for over 30 years I had helped Napier solve crimes, but I had not his wit nor his eloquence. Napier would gather the suspects, and through his incisive logic and clarity of argument so inescapably present the facts, that the malefactor saw no choice but to confess. But Napier was dead. His inestimable mind was no match for the cancer that had raced through his body, succeeding in weeks where half the underworld population of France had struggled and failed. The call for aging street apaches was small, and Napier's partner was all I'd been since before the war. So I did nothing. I spent my days working through the newspaper, my nights alone in my loft with a glass of Pernod, listening to Edith Piaf on the record player. But soon I was seeing the little connections that Napier so often spoke of. Here, the theft of a cargo of cigarettes. There, a puzzling murder. A policeman gone missing. A prostitute arrested. I wrote a note to the commissaire de police about what I had suspected. Days passed, but at last came a reply, begging forgiveness, asking my health and thanking for my service. He would look into what I had written. In the envelope was tucked a new 100 francs note. I would hear no more from him. After all, Yardy without Napier was only an aged thug. I must solve this puzzle myself. I was not Napier, but had he not many times called me his heart and his muscle? It needn't be elegant, and I had spent over 30 years with the greatest detective in France, a country of great detectives. I soon learned the name of this new Wellington of crime, who, after all, was not new. It was one of our old nemesis, the murderous, clever Michael Guiré, the one great criminal even Napier had never been able to see pay for anything more than the smallest of his crimes. His name was whispered in brothels, hinted at on the docks, spoke with trembling and fear in the dark underworld cafes and filthy bars of the old port. Released from his term at Le Centre Pénitentiaire de Fresnay, where Napier had put him, in mere months he was again a power in the city. I asked questions and made careful maps of thefts and disappearances. I walked the corniche which ran from the old port, timing the trucks with their 3 a.m. cargoes. Napier would have known in days. It took me 3 months. Guiré's response to my note was to send a car for me the next day. They drove me to his residence, a narrow building overlooking the Le Jardin de Vestiges by the Centre Bourse. Guiré rose as I rushed in. "Yardy!" he exclaimed with an unforced delight. "I have never enjoyed before seeing you. How much more pleasant it is to meet you without Napier." He was elegant, as always, a little thicker in the middle than years before, but so are we all. He sat across from me, his two tufts silent behind him. "Please, join me in dining as we talk. The bread is excellent, as are the pied perret." I shook my head. "I'm here on business. As I indicated in my note, I have discovered a great deal of your illicit doings. I'm here to ask you to surrender yourself to the police." I leaned back a little and crossed my legs. The young toughs were big and fearsome looking, but they were inexperienced. In the pocket of one, I could see the outline of the gun they had taken away from my waistband. Guiré laughed. It was like a stab in the chest. "My old friend, if you had done anything, you would have brought these police. I have no doubt that you have done good detective work, and if you were Napier, that would be enough. In 3 sentences, you have to have me tongue-tied, in 6 convicted. But you... you have numbers and names and lists, no more. You cannot bring proof enough, and you cannot even convince the police with whom you worked for so many years to listen. You have done well, but it is time for you to go home. After all, you are not Napier." I nodded sadly and pulled the Luger from my stocking. The first 2 shots went into the chest of the thug with my gun, the next into his companion. Guiré blanched through the haze of burnt cordite. I stood and pointed at the center of his forehead. "You are right, Guiré." I gently pulled the trigger. "I am not Napier."